I'm joined by Nick Hobbs, who's a concert promoter based in Istanbul. Nick, you've been witnessing some of the protests. What have you seen?
It's all kind of by accident. I was walking. I didn't know anything about the plan to occupy Gezi Park, which is very close to where I live. And I was just walking back from a rehearsal, because I'm also a musician, on Thursday. And I walked back through the park, and then I bumped into an old friend who was part of the Occupy movement, or is part of the Occupy movement, and she told me what had happened that morning, that they'd had the camp raided with tear gas by the police at 5 a.m. and, you know, completely unannounced and unprovoked and so forth and so on. And then the following morning, I met with another friend who, for reasons which were to do with music, in fact. And then she said she was going off to join the protest that was going to happen that morning because of the previous day's breakup of the camp. So I said, "Oh, I'll tag along." And I tagged along and witnessed, and in fact, got gassed as part of the first police attack on Friday morning, and took some photographs. And what I saw, I didn't think was very nice, because there was about a couple of hundred, maybe even less, possibly, people standing on Thursday they tore down the camp, they burnt the tents and drove everybody out, and then they barricaded the park so that nobody could get back in. And there were a lot of police inside the park, but there's another part of the park on the other side of the road next to the Hyatt Hotel, and the protest was happening there, which was not barricaded off. The people were standing on the edge of the park, which faces across the road onto the park that had been barricaded, and they were just standing there, you know, with a couple of hand-painted signs and a little bit of chanting going on, not blocking the road. And then suddenly the tear gas canisters were filling the air, and everybody, of course, was running, me included, because it's not very nice. Then I split with my friend. I went to work. She got hit by a gas canister later the same day, a couple of hours later. And then from that moment, the whole thing escalated very rapidly, thanks to Twitter. The news got around very quickly, and a huge protest started, because everybody thought this was completely out of order, and it was a trigger. It was the straw that broke the camel's back, or whatever you want to, however you'd like to put it. But it was the trigger event which set off the protest to. Discontent with the government, which is something which has been very long running, but there hasn't been a flashpoint to set it off like this.
What's the mood like now? The Deputy Prime Minister has been has apologised and has agreed to meet protesters.
It's very complicated and very hard to read, and also it's too new, so no one really knows to what extent the AKP, the ruling party, is playing a game, or to what extent that they don't. There's a lot of internal disagreement within the party. The president is basically taking a conciliatory line. I mean, he's the one who ordered the withdrawal of the police on Saturday, which is what stopped the situation from going completely AWOL, which is, I think, what would have happened, because there were hundreds of thousands of protesters at that point, and the police were overwhelmed. And in fact, they were trapped, because they were in Taksim Square and there was nowhere for them to go. So it would have got extremely nasty if it had gone on. But the police withdrew, or they withdrew in a very unpleasant way, because they were still firing gas canisters as they withdrew. But they withdrew, and since then, Taksim itself has been completely free of police. And in fact, the barricades are still up, but it's totally open. The metro is running again. Life is normal, except that the square is surrounded by barricades. And the park is back being occupied by the Occupy people until the threat to rebuild this building in the park has been lifted. And the mood in the rest of Istanbul is a bit more complicated in Beşiktaş, which is where I have my office, because that's where the Prime Minister's office is too. And there were very unpleasant riots on Sunday night still, even though they'd stopped in Taksim. Last night, it's quite a strange system here, but the Beşiktaş Football Club, who are called...
What are they called?
Çarşı Beşiktaş. Yeah, we call Çarşı Beşiktaş, which means Beşiktaş Market, are in fact organizing the protests in Beşiktaş. And the police have come to a direct agreement with them not to, if you stay away from the Prime Minister's office, we'll stay away from you. So that's what they've agreed to do. So it means that the protests have become, at least for now, relatively peaceful. Erdogan, the Prime Minister, hasn't changed his line at all. He's still completely, what could you say? I mean, he shows no understanding of the situation. What he's been saying. I mean, yesterday he said that it was the whole thing was caused by foreign agents. It's the fault of Twitter. We're going to close it down. We're going to build this building. If we want to build it, we're going to build it. It's my decision. That kind of stuff. Very provocative and unheeding to the situation. Whereas Gül, the president, has been much more sensible, and the deputy prime minister, his name is Arınç, it's been also more conciliatory than the prime minister.
Do you think they're going to succeed? That more conciliatory line. Do you think that's going to succeed in calming anger?
Well, it has calmed the anger. I mean, withdrawing the police on Saturday was an extremely smart move because it defused the situation immediately. Plus the fact the police have been heavily criticized here and internationally. So that has had some effect, I think. If the Deputy Prime Minister apologized for the police behavior, I think, yesterday. So if the Deputy Prime Minister apologizes for police behavior, then that means that somebody's knuckles are being rapped in the police department. And it's like, but you can't read too much into that either. It might be simply a temporary step. Plus the fact that the park itself is not important. I mean, it's important if you live in Istanbul and it's the only little bit of park in the center of the city. But it's compared to what's happening in the rest of the country, and compared to building the third bridge and the third airport and the Bosphorus Canal and destroying historical neighborhoods as in Talabasha and Sulikule and so forth and so on, then it's nothing. It's a drop in the ocean. It just happened to be the symbolic trigger point. So whether that all the energy of protest gets turned into something which you could say is a more of a political movement, which has more of a more lasting effects, and whether it weakens Erdogan's position or not substantially, those are questions which I think are far too early to say. The Turkish political opposition is a big mess, and haven't risen to the occasion either. And I think that without a fairly substantial transformation of the political scene here, it's really difficult to see where the energies of the protests can go to.
What's your best guess? What's going to
happen? Well, Erdogan is a very, very stubborn man, and not given to compromise, not given to backing down. He's used to getting his way, and he's an extremely, extremely successful politician. But he's not one who listens to people. So in the end, I think his hubris will be his downfall. But in the meantime, it'll take very, very big shocks for him to actually say, "Oh, I was wrong," or "Oh, we have to change our policies." Those kind of things. He's not given to those kind of moves. But on the other hand, he's a kind of you can regard him as an elected dictator, but he's still elected. And he's not a dictator in the sense of Assad in Syria or whatever. He's still answerable to the populace and to parliament. There could be any situation is feasible, but he has he's a very, very popular man with half the country and a very, very powerful man. And I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen next. That would be the only answer. But my own feeling is I'm not terribly optimistic. I'm fairly pessimistic. I think that the government has far too much power, and there's very inadequate democratic checks and balances For example, there was no public inquiry about the Taksim redevelopment. There was no public inquiry about the third airport or the third bridge. None of those sort of processes that would be quite normal, I think, in many countries.
Do the protesters seem in any mood to disperse?
Well, they've dispersed in as much as it's now Tuesday and a lot of people have gone to work or they've got exams or, you know, carrying on with their lives. And yesterday, during the day, things were quiet, but they heated up again in the evening. I think that now the police are backing off, and it's clear that the police are backing off, then I think there's no more fuel for the protests. The park has been liberated, so to speak. And Erdogan is in Morocco. When he comes back, which I think is on Thursday, we'll see what happens. A lot depends on the government's moves, I think, now. The protesters have shown their muscle, and they've shown their muscle big time. I mean, not just in Istanbul, but in many cities all over Turkey. So obviously the government realizes that there are forces out there that they can't control, and they can only suppress by violent means, which, of course, they'd rather not.
Okay, Nick, thanks very much.
Okay, a pleasure.